music.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Beauty Talk here on Blog Talk Radio for today, Thursday, July 9th. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, co-owner of Illusions Cosmetics, and tonight I'm joined by my co-host in my sister's absence. She doesn't like it when I say that, but she's my co-host for tonight, makeup artist Cynthia Jones. Welcome, Cynthia, and thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Janice.
My new co-host. I encourage everyone to join in on the conversation tonight as we continue with part two of a three-part series on airbrush makeup. Tonight we're joined by David Classfield of OCC Cosmetics. Hi, David. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing? Great.
I'm great. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely.
Also, we'd like to encourage the listeners to join us in the chat room tonight. You can just sign on to our profile page, which is www.blogtalkradio.com/illusions-cosmetics, and just click on chat. Also, you can send questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. You can also call in at 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. David, we have loads of questions for you tonight.
Oh, excellent.
Yes, loads of questions. I see that my sister has taken a break from filming, so she's joining us. Are you there?
I'm here for a few seconds.
Okay. Well, say hello.
Hi, Dave. Hi, everybody.
Hi,
who else is on the line? Hi, Cynthia.
Yes.
Okay. He's taking
David,
my place.
Yes, he's taking your place. David, can you just start off by telling us a little bit about your background and how OCC Cosmetics came about?
Absolutely. Yeah. OCC is sort of the end result of all my experience on set as a makeup artist. I've been doing makeup professionally for about 15 years. And during that time, I've always had my hands in the cosmetic industry in one way or another. I started off behind the counter, like a lot of makeup artists do. I worked for MAC for about 6 years. And it was there that I sort of became fascinated with the process of making makeup. I was always sort of just one of those how it works kind of people. That was one of my favorite books as a kid. You know, it showed you how, like, radios and televisions and how all that stuff worked. And as a makeup artist, I was just really fascinated by the process of creating the actual cosmetics. So from there, I sort of turned my retail experience into more of a behind-the-scenes thing, and I started doing consulting for other cosmetic companies, helping them develop their lines. And from that point, it was always just sort of a matter of time until I knew I wanted to go off and do it for myself.
Right. Well, tonight we have quite a few questions. I'll just have to let you know that Cynthia and I and another makeup artist here, Aisha, we all got together for a airbrush jam. So we just wanted to kind of practice airbrushing, try out a few products that we received or that we purchased at the IMAP show this past June. And we just kind of got together just to have a little fun. And from that session, we came up with several questions.
Great.
I just want to let Cynthia start off with a question tonight because I know she had quite a few.
Sure.
Okay. Trying to figure out the best way to ask this. I find in many cosmetic lines that on the cool side of the airbrush foundations, they seem a lot more red in its appearance. And let's say if I'm working with a Caucasian client and I'm applying that foundation, it seems to appear even more red on their skin if they already look red. How can we avoid that?
Yeah, that's such a great question, and it's definitely something that a lot of makeup artists are facing. And I think the key word in your question was that the products are generally referred to as cool. you probably noticed just from working with our products that we sort of went beyond that sort of language that the cosmetic industry has sort of instituted by calling colors cool and warm and, you
right.
know, in the past it used to be like winters and falls and all that crazy nonsense. what those companies are trying to tell you with all those, you know, pretty sounding words is whether or not there's more yellow or more red in the foundation. So at OCC, you know, just in keeping with the kind of line we are, we were really straightforward about it, and we just call our products either red-based or yellow-based. So it's very easy to determine from our range, the OCC Skin Airbrush Foundation, what's mm-hmm. what. And then the second really cool thing that we do, and this was, again, just sort of bringing my experience as a makeup artist to the product, was we give you the base pigments that go into every single foundation. If you're familiar with our products, in addition to red and yellow-based foundations, blush colors and shimmers,
yeah. uh-huh.
we do a set of primaries. And I think when a lot of people see them, they assume that they're for, like, face painting or special effects or that sort of thing. But if you take a look at them, they're all sort of slightly off. The red is sort of like a henna red, and the yellow is more like a mustard. And that's because those are all single pigment colors, and they are what's used to actually make makeup. So whether it's one of our foundations, a Laura Mercier concealer, a Makeup Forever, you know, hand-applied foundation, they're all made using the same colors. So when we give you that, you literally have all the same advantages that a cosmetic chemist has. So you can literally make the foundation whatever shade you want. You know, whereas in the past, makeup artists were sort of mixing pre-made shades together to create the right color. And, you know, with that, you can only go so far before it just turns ashy. So okay. the great thing about our line is that you literally have the pure pigments, and you can make whatever you want. Does that make sense?
Yes,
it does.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Can I make a quick comment before I have to jump off the phone really quickly? You know, I just have to say all positive things about OCC, and I just wanted to say that I had to use, we were using, the department head wanted to use Makeup Forever on most of the actresses, and I think just because it says high def and we're shooting in high def, that, you know, everybody's going crazy over labels on makeup now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one actress who has really, really oily skin, and I don't know if I've told this story before, but just yesterday I decided I'm not going to use the Makeup Forever, I'm going to use OCC. And the one thing that I love about OCC is it tends to go a little matte, not, you know, over the board, but just a little matte, and it was great for her skin because, you know, the makeup started to move, the Makeup Forever started to move throughout the day. So with the OCC, it was perfect. It didn't move, and it looks fabulous.
Awesome.
And I've got so many compliments about her makeup yesterday.
That's awesome. And, yeah,
so I will be putting that picture up on Twitter pretty soon.
Terrific. I will definitely keep an eye out for that.
Sorry. Well, I have to run. We are still shooting, and I have to get back.
I appreciate you joining us so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
Schedule.
All right, have fun. Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Earlier today, David, we received some questions via email.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from Beyond Beauty Cosmetics Studio.
Great.
And the first question was, she says, or I'm assuming it's a she, he or she said, I took the beginning OCC airbrush course at Rouge Makeup Studio in NYC and bought the kit, including the pigments at the makeup show. I am comfortable mixing the Y and R foundations when needed, but the class didn't cover the color theory of mixing the pigments into the foundation. Is there another class, DVD, online posting, or any other training for long-distance artists that provides more guidance on the use of the pigments? So I'm assuming she doesn't live in NYC, and I guess she doesn't want to travel to NYC and wants to know if there are any other classes or DVD or online postings that could help her with this.
No, absolutely, yeah. What she's referring to is we do teach airbrush basics at Rouge Makeup Studio in New York City. It is a great little makeup studio for anyone who isn't familiar with it already on Broadway and 25th Street, and we do basic airbrush instruction there. And it's so much to cover in one full day anyway that we try not to overwhelm people with too much information at once. We just, you know, go over the basics of the equipment, how to work with it, what products work best for what situations, and just enough to sort of get you going. And it makes me so happy to hear that she's interested in learning even more. So for people who it is an option to come to our New York location, we do have an advanced class that covers what she's talking about, but I'm also really happy to announce that we do have a series of DVDs in the works. And the great thing about ours is that we're going to offer them online for free. You'll be able to watch the video streaming on the website. The DVDs will be available for purchase, but anyone who wants to just sort of tune in and learn about airbrush makeup will be able to do so right at occmakeup.com for no charge.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's a real point of difference. You know, I feel like it's sort of strange to charge people for information. I just, that's the sort of thing I think as artists we need to share with each other. And we just want to put it out there so that people have all the information they need to be successful in their craft.
Great. That's great.
Wonderful.
You know, and I just like to say, I don't know how far she traveled, but I do know that sometimes it's going to take a little travel to get the knowledge or a better understanding of some of the things that we do, you know, to learn a different skill. Sometimes it's going to take travel.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have options in all the major metropolitan cities in the United States. We're sold through Nigel's Beauty Supply in Los Angeles, and we do workshops on a regular basis there, and we're setting up other distributors in all other, you know, major cities across the United States. So it's, you know, we try to stay central to the hubs of production is right now what we're doing, just so we can serve professionals working in those areas. But we realize that, you know, it's expensive enough to get yourself set up with an airbrush, so to have to factor travel and, you know, hotel accommodations into the mix, it can get really tough. So for artists working in the outer markets, we are absolutely thrilled to be able to give them that option to sort of learn online until it is an option to travel to one of the areas that we are in.
Right. So basically, everyone, just stay tuned to the website.
Absolutely.
For classes, you know, with different areas of the country, as well as the videos. Okay. The second question is, what is the best way to cover chest hyperpigmentation on ethnic skin with the alcohol body paints? She says, for example, a bride with a strapless dress wants to cover body dark spots. She says, color correctors or face concealers first under the body paint as on the face. She's asking a question. Do you use color correctors or face concealers first under the body paint as on the face? And then she says, how many applications of the paint are normally needed to cover this or a tattoo?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I just want to explain to anyone who might not be too familiar with our products that we do have two ranges of airbrush formulations. The first one is OCC Skin, which is a water base, and that's more for beauty / face makeup. And then I think the formula she's referring to is OCC Ink, which is our alcohol-based body paint, and that's great for everything from creating tattoos to covering them, special effects, body painting, all the rest of it. And it is absolutely terrific for exactly what she's talking about, especially for bridal, because it's a waterproof formula. It's also transfer-resistant and sweat-proof, and it literally does not budge after it's applied. So the other piece of good news that I have for her is that all that color correction sort of becomes a thing of the past, because the opacity of this product is such that you can really just sort of pick the skin color that best matches the surrounding area and just spray right over it. And it may take a coat or two, depending on the intensity of the discoloration, but it really eliminates all those extra steps. And the real beauty of airbrush makeup is that you're able to achieve maximum coverage with minimal product buildup. So in this regard, the what's even better is that you do it using so little product. You're able to just cover that up, and they don't look like they're wearing a lot of makeup. And I think especially on the body, you know, for a bride, I think people are sort of used to seeing their friends and relatives for their weddings wearing a little bit more makeup than they're used to. But no one wants to be really seen as wearing a ton of body makeup. So I think it's a really excellent option.
Right. Cynthia, any more questions? I know you had quite a few from today.
Well, actually, commenting on what David was just talking about, I had a client that had a lot of black marks, body black marks. And instead of using, I actually don't have the ink version, but I do have the water base. And I use that, and of course, because it's so pigmented, it covered up everything.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And,
right?
And then I remember the tip that you said at the show to use the ink, the clear spray after, and that just sets it and holds it in place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As well. But it did a coverage.
Yeah, well, we do make
like Y4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what we do make, I think what you're referring to, the clear ink is just literally a clear version of that same body paint I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
So if you spray that over any of the regular water-based products or really any other foundation, it's going to freeze it in place. Now, that can be advantageous, especially when you're dealing with, you know, body makeup type situations, but you also just have to factor in, you know, the type of bride you're working on. But, you know, some people are very respectful of the process and they understand once the makeup is applied, it's, you know, probably not a good idea to scratch or pick at it. But once you do spray that coat over it, it's like bulletproof. So it's not going
And out. I could actually vouch for that because when we were doing our makeup jam earlier, I sprayed my arm and it's actually still there.
That's terrific.
And that was hours ago.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear it.
Let's talk about HD makeup, David. What's
mm-hmm.
the craze all about?
You know, I mean, that's such an awesome question because I think HD is really terrifying a whole generation of makeup artists and really every other generation before that because it's really being overhyped. It's really being sold as like this incredible technology that's just going to make your makeup look awful. And that couldn't be further from the truth. The basic rule of thumb for HD, plain and simple, is what you see is what you get. So what it did, in effect, was it made all the old rules of the past that we used to have to adhere to for television makeup sort of go out the window. And as long as the makeup looked good to your eye, it's going to look great in HD. So it's really good news in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I think really, you know, unfortunately, there are some companies that try to sort of hype it up and make you believe that it's, you know, this terrifying process. And, you know, occasionally that can just be part of a sales pitch. And at OCC, we just like to be really honest and say, just keep doing the same great makeup you've been doing and make sure it looks good to your eye because you're not going to get away with anything anymore. You know how if you were rushing and someone had not the best skin in the world, you could just pile up tons of cream foundation and, you know, powder them down and just have your conversation with the lighting director and say, you know, can you blow her face out a little bit? That may have worked in the past. In the current day in HD, she's just going to look like she's got bad skin and a ton of makeup on, and she's overly
right.
lit. So it does force us on one hand to, you know, take a little bit more time and really perfect the look, but I think that's a real benefit in the end.
Yeah. Do you think, because I asked this question last week, we had Rocky from Tet Cosmetics on.
Mm-hmm.
I asked this last week, and I asked about, you know, like my sister was talking about the Makeup Forever, and she used the OTC, and she thinks that the other makeup artists used it, you know, all because it has HD on the label. Do you think it's more of just mastering your techniques and
Absolutely.
How you use
Absolutely.
Whatever product you're using?
100%. 100%. And I'll tell you why. You know, I mean, I'll tell you a quick story that sort of answers that question. I did a job in Chicago not too long ago, and the airline lost my luggage. And I, you know, showed up in Chicago, and I got the bad news. And in my luggage, was my kit. So it was about 11 o'clock at night on a Sunday, so none of the good makeup stores were open, and I had to go into like a 24-hour Walgreens and put together a shoddy little kit from, you know, Max Factor, L'Oreal, all the drugstore brands. And I went and I did the job the next day, and it looked terrific when all was said and done. Was it an easy process? You know, certainly not, but I made it look good. The reason why I'm such a firm believer in airbrush is because it makes your life so easy.
Uh-huh.
There's a real advantage to it, and I think that can be sort of difficult information to ascertain because if you listen to the way some companies sell it, they're just sort of telling you the same thing that every company tells you about every, you know, makeup product they're trying to sell you, that it, you know, makes lines and wrinkles disappear and gives you smooth, perfect skin. But no one's really talking about what the real advantage is. And the real advantage is really simple. It's just that you're able to get great, even coverage really quickly and really completely without a lot of blending. So mm-hmm. it's a time saver. And then again, you're getting that great coverage, but you're not getting a ton of product buildup like we used to get in the past. So it's really the best of both worlds. And to go back to the bridal example, but that's a great example, for years, makeup artists have sort of been terrorizing brides. You know, we've been really having to pile up the foundation just so they look good in their photos, and they might look good in their photos, but I know, you know, there's been probably far too many brides whose friends are watching her walk down the aisle and thinking, well, you know, who's that?
Wow.
But with airbrush makeup, you're able to get that really perfect skin, and it looks like next to nothing on the face. So that's why I've always sort of been a real proponent of it, not only for HD, but for digital photography as well, because you're not dealing with that heavy product buildup. And is it the only answer for HD? Certainly not, but it's definitely the easiest and the most hassle-free option that I've found.
Gotcha. We had a makeup artist. We worked at her studio today, and we were just talking about different brands, different products, and she kept telling us, every answer she gave, she said this almost the whole time, she said, you know, we have to be chemists first. And Cynthia, you can help me out with this a little bit, just kind of trying to explain what she was talking about, but she kept talking a lot about how products, you know, how they break down, you know, and I'm like, some of this stuff was just a little bit, because I'm definitely not a chemist, but I saw where she was going with it. We do have to be chemists when you think about it, because just knowing how products work and how they work together, and, you know, like you were talking earlier about, you know, having the pigments to make,
mm-hmm.
you know, your own colors as opposed to, you know, mixing foundation colors together.
Right. Well, yeah, she definitely sounds like a girl after my own heart. but the good news is I'm going to change one word in there, and it's not that we have to be chemists. It's that we have to be bakers. We have to be like pastry chefs. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Cosmetic chemistry is so deceptively simple, it's unbelievable. And, you know, if you ever get the experience to go into a cosmetics lab, you would just be blown away by how similar it is to, like, you know, putting together a Duncan Hines cake. It's really very, very similar. So I think the term itself can be sort of intimidating to a lot of makeup artists, because you say chemistry and it all sort of makes us go into, like, shell shock mode and think about, like, our scary chemistry final exams in high school and such.
Right.
But it's really sort of fascinating. It's really very basic stuff. And you certainly don't have to learn, you know, how to make up a lipstick from scratch. But when you understand a little bit about what makes up your makeup, it makes it so much easier. It really just takes away the whole intimidation factor. And when you're able to look at the ingredients listing on your cosmetics and understand what it's telling you in terms of how the product will work, it's really terrific. Because there's, you know, especially with airbrush makeup, I think a lot of people get very confused with water base and silicone base and alcohol base and, you know, which is the right one to use. And if you know a little bit about why those ingredients are used in the first place, it sort of takes all that guesswork away.
Gotcha. Well, can you tell us a little bit about that? Can you talk a little bit about the water base, the silicone base, the alcohol base, the differences and what they're used for?
Absolutely. Sure. I'll just start with a little bit of history, too. The first airbrush formulas that popped up on the market in the, you know, early 90s were all alcohol-based, and that was largely because we were looking for something that was thin enough to spray through the airbrush, because if you think back to commercial formulas back then, like the kind of stuff you would find in the drugstore or in the department stores, the liquid makeups were kind of thick. They weren't like a very thin texture that would be easy to brush on. So I think that's why the first airbrush makeup companies went with alcohol. The side benefit of that, in addition to being thin, it helped to create a product that was extremely long-lasting. And since most makeup artists working with airbrush were really using it for special effects, that was really ideal because you didn't want that makeup to budge. If you were, like, working on Star Trek, say, and you were making someone, you know, into a Klingon, the last thing you want is for that makeup to go anywhere. But
right.
When beauty artists started gravitating toward it, we had a big problem, which was that we couldn't touch it up at all. And, you know, anyone who's worked on set will tell you that that's crucial. You know, the model forgets that she has it on and scratches her cheek, or the bride is at her wedding and, you know, her great aunt Tilly comes up and gives her a big kiss on the cheek. You need to be able to sort of smooth those things away without a lot of hassle. And when
right.
you try to do that with alcohol-based products, you get nowhere fast. Like, it just literally won't budge at all. So the next evolution of airbrush makeup was water-based, and at the time, a lot of the formulas on the market were pretty dry. It created, like, an overly matte finish. And to this day, you find a lot of artists who worked with some of those formulas, and they were sort of terrified of them, too, because, you know, they weren't difficult to work with, like, the way the alcohol bases were, but they created a texture that was less than ideal for the purpose. Around the same time, silicone just became super popular in the cosmetics industry in general, because people were terrified of oil. Everyone wanted, you know, oil-free foundations and oil-free moisturizers, and silicone made a pretty easy substitution in those formulas. So that really ended up being the holy grail of foundations for a really long time, and it created this really beautiful and dewy complexion that was really very much the trend in the late 90s. You know, nobody was powdering their noses anymore. Everyone wanted that sort of shine factor. And that's what silicone does. It creates shine. So people were pretty happy with that for a while until HD became the norm. And the one thing about HD is it does show texture for what it is. So instead of looking dewy and moist and glowy, it just looked shiny. And that could be a real problem if you were, say, working on newscasters who, you know, wanted to maintain relative mattness to their skin. So
okay.
What we did is we gravitated right back to water, and we tried to figure out, well, what was it about the formulas of the past that made them so dry in the first place? And the answer was really simple. It was that there were special mattifiers in there to combat the oil. So what we did is we just pulled the oil out and didn't use any special mattifiers. And it was really that simple. We just created a product that dried matte on its own.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Any comments, Cynthia, before I go on?
So, David, would you, with knowing what you know about silicone-based foundation, airbrush foundations, would you opt to stay away from that? Like, will we see silicone-based in OCC's future?
No, you know, I don't think so, because I think what we've really determined is that water-based just works better. You know, it doesn't have to be super dry. If you know, and you've worked with our products, so you can vouch. It creates what we call a natural matte finish. So it's not that uber dry finish that we're, you know, used to. I think when people hear the word matte, they get terrified because they think of that late 90s, like, powder foundation
right.
phase where
right.
everyone was just super chalky. That's the kind of matte we're talking about. But that would look just as bad in HD as the shine factor would. The finish that our product creates is really a natural matte, so it's no more dewy or dry than healthy skin should look naturally. And if you do want to add shine, the great thing is we do have a series of highlighters that you can use, and you can sort of place shine strategically where you want to see it versus locking yourself into it all over the face. But that's the thing. When you apply a silicone-based foundation, you just get that shine everywhere. And while shine can look good on the apples of the cheek, down the center of the nose, it doesn't look so great in the hairline where it makes them look sweaty, or, you know, around the jaw where it can emphasize the jaw, or on the upper lip, it's definitely going to read like sweat. So I think in terms of a more practical solution, you just spray down a great water base and you add the shine where you want it, even with traditional products.
Gotcha. Well, now for about 5 minutes, we're going to take time to introduce a new segment with hairstylist and makeup artist Maxie, and it's called Maxie's Like It or Not. So Maxie's going to come on and talk about anything beauty-related that you want to discuss. Hi, Maxie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I can't believe I didn't know David was on tonight as well.
Yes, that was a surprise. I wasn't going to tell you. I just wanted you to call and hear.
Honey, the OCC airbrush system actually saved my life for the last 2 days. I've been using it. And today I had to do makeup on mannequins. Apparently, you can't go ahead and sponge makeup straight on mannequins. It's impossible. It turns into, like, blotches of craziness. Anyhow, so I had to wipe off or what I had splotched on, and the OCC stuff saved my life. Thank you, David. But today, I'm going to focus my rantings and ravings of lunacy towards something that's really bothering me. And are you guys ready?
We're ready.
I go across the country now, and I speak, and I demonstrate, and I teach makeup and hair, but what I'm discovering everywhere I go is that students go to school, and they go to schools all over the country, and I've talked to students from every school, or I don't know specifically every school, but let's say hundreds of schools, and each one of them asks me the same question. And I've dedicated, like, my lectures and my speaking to now how to develop your career and what to do after school and how to build your portfolio and how to find an agent and all that stuff, because the schools are not preparing the students for after school. They basically sell you a batch of brushes and, you know, show you how to, you know, slap on some, you know, concealer or whatever, but they don't really prepare you for the real world. And I feel like schools need to add to their curriculum some sort of career-focused, you know, even just like a pamphlet that they hand out at the end about, okay, now that you've gone to school, you have to do this, this, and that, because there's so many directions that a makeup artist and hairdresser can go. They can go do film and television and get into the union, which is one process and steps that you have to take to achieve that. You could do fashion, and if you do fashion, you don't have to go to school at all because it's just styling. You can even do hair and fashion and never have to.
Matthew? Hello?
Did we lose him?
I think we lost him. I think we lost him. Well, until we get him back, David, there was a question from the chat room from Christina Ashley, and she says she wants to know what you think about the whole lip tar craze and how it's
lip tar.
And how it's taken off as not only a product for lips, but as blush and eyeshadow base as well.
Yeah,
and
I would love.
And I can tell you, Sia is in love with the lip tars, and I know she's doing something crazy. We have Maxie back, but Maxie, right after David finishes answering this question, we're going to bring you back in.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just be real quick because I would hate to steal Maxie's thunder. Lip tar has just sort of revolutionized our company. It was sort of a co-creation of mine and another makeup artist. Katie Pellegrino, who is a phenomenal makeup artist on the scene, definitely one to watch. Her website is katiepellegrino.com, and she does work with us occasionally. And originally, I think some of the listeners will be interested to know, we were designating it as a body paint. So that tells you a little bit about the opacity of the product.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just sort of this color goo, and it was Katie who took a look at it and said, this would be the world's best lip gloss. Why don't we just introduce it as sort of like a combination lipstick lip gloss? And I just, you know, I thought that was brilliant. And we debuted it at the Makeup Show LA back in March. And, you know, we had high hopes for it, but we just could not believe the reception that it got. People were just fascinated with it, and we started getting press from places all over the world. I mean, from everything from Women's Wear Daily to the amazing bloggers out there and all the YouTube makeup divas. It's really unbelievable how quickly that product caught fire, and we couldn't be more thrilled because, you know, at our heart, what OCC is really about is innovation and creating new products. I think makeup artists and, you know, just makeup enthusiasts are really sick of seeing companies trot out the same old products in different packaging, and we were always committed to creating something really new and really different from what's out there, and I think Lip Tar really definitely raised the bar as far as that goes.
I think everyone's excited about it, and it's definitely a craze.
Yes.
I was going to say, and I know Cynthia has big plans for them.
Oh, David, you are insane for thinking of this product. It is just a masterpiece. I'm so serious.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
I'll be putting on my Twitter page in the upcoming weeks different formulas, different mixtures to do.
That's the exciting thing to me. Like, that's really, I mean, it's incredible. If you go to YouTube.com and you put in Lip Tar, you'll see so many amazing videos from, there's, you know, an incredible YouTuber out there, the Queen of Blending, who does all different demos with it, and the amazing Jude Rivera, who runs girlyshow.com, that's girly-show.com, did a whole series of posts just showing the different combinations she did, and that really makes me happy about my career choice and what it is I do for a living, because to see people getting so inspired and playing around with this stuff and really enjoying it it helps me sleep better at night. We'll put it that way.
And back to Max, I just wanted to say, Chris DeWaldo, I hope I pronounced that right, from the chat room wanted to say he just had a praise for David and OCC Airbrush. He says it's really changed his approach to doing a flawless beauty makeup. And then he wanted to know, are you still keeping in line with the lip balms as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I can give you guys a little bit of inside information. We're going to be relaunching the balm soon with an improved new texture just based on some of the feedback we've been getting. And most of the shades of Lip Tar will have a corresponding lip balm. Some of them already do, but some of your other favorites like Pageant and NSFW and Grandma are going to get matching.
Oh, okay. Actually, are you there?
Yes. So, anyhow, sorry for losing you. Now, the point is our careers can go in so many different directions. Like, we can, and there's different things we have to do to take our careers in those directions. And so I really am, my mission in life right now is to get schools, and believe me, I'm calling them, reaching out to them, to add career development to the curriculum, at least just one day of it. One day of that, rather than, you know, like whatever useless, you know, dated makeup tricks you're going to learn there. I mean, I don't want to denounce all schools because they're great for special effects and they're great to, you know, and get someone going, I guess. But they certainly have fallen short of helping people actually achieve their career dreams, and I'm going to change that. And, but besides that, hi, how are you guys? By the way, the Queen of Blending and I almost worked together recently on a music video. We were we're going to work together. I forget on what music video, but it all fell apart. And I love her more than life itself. She's the best YouTube blogger in the world. I mean, really, I'm in love with her. Like, I would marry her. I would. And how are you, David?
Good, Maxie. How are you doing?
Now, listen, this is a five-minute segment that I'm doing every week. So basically, I'm done with what I have to say. So I'm going to let you guys go. But thanks for having me. And keep it in mind and pass it on and tell everyone that,
yeah,
you know, the point of makeup school is not how to learn how to put on lip liner. The purpose is to, like, you know, cultivate a career for yourself. And it's not just, you know, putting on concealer and stuff, kids. So ask. If you're still in school, ask them about this. Mention it, that you want to know what to do now. Okay. Okay, kids. I'll talk to you next week. I'm going to bitch about something else. I don't know what.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay,
right.
Bye, kids. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. That's so true, though. I mean, he's right. There's some of the schools are kind of missing the mark on that.
No, absolutely. We definitely, in our workshops, there are definitely people who sort of just show up just to find out what's next, because now they have that education and they don't know what to do with it. So I think Maxie makes a really valid point about, you know, it's almost like there need to be specific workshops for, you know, where to bring my career next.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we have a call from 631 area code, and so I'd like to bring them in. If they have a comment or a question. Hello, caller. I'm sorry, I'm getting ready to have some technical difficulties here. Hello, caller. Do you have a comment or question?
I have a question for David.
How are you?
Hi, good. David, it's Jude. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
It's Jude Rivera, who I just gave a shout-out to.
Okay.
I had a question about your foundation.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you had plans in the works to maybe expand your foundation range to more traditional cream type and liquid type foundations for non-pro users or anyone who doesn't have access to the airbrush system?
That's a great question. I just have a question. Are any of my competitors listening, do you think? in a word, yes. In a word, you will definitely see some consumer options, and we're going to apply what we know as airbrush experts to creating the next best thing. Because the reality is, you know, I don't think most women need to apply their makeup with an airbrush to go to the grocery store. And there's definitely information out there that will tell you otherwise. And one thing that I'm definitely seeing on the radar is people sort of using, like, HD as a weapon almost. Like, well, you know, you always have to be camera ready because you never know who's going to jump out from the corner and photograph you. And stuff like that sort of embarrasses me for the industry, but I feel like it's just sort of the next evolution of scare tactics, and I think you can really achieve some great results by hand as well, or certainly enough for your day-to-day. So, yes, we do have some products in the works that are going to give you an airbrush-like result with very minimal effort, so definitely stay tuned. Anyone who's listening, we are very active in the online community, and we've always depended on the kindness of bloggers like Jude and so many different other people. This That Beauty is one of our favorites, X Sparkage on YouTube. I mean, we have a very strong relationship with the online community. So if you're interested in OCC updates and what we're up to and what's coming next, you can follow us on Twitter. It's just twitter.com/OCCMakeup. You can become a fan of Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics on Facebook, and you can also sign up for email updates on any page of our website, occmakeup.com. So we like to stay in touch with you, and we definitely like to let you know what's new next. And we do have a lot of great products in the works, and, you know, we're thrilled that everyone's excited about Lip Tar, and a lot of the Lip Tar fans out there are starting to discover our other great products, like our loose colors, the eyeshadow shimmers, and the lip balms and the nail polishes. And we've got exciting stuff planned through and including next year. So definitely keep an eye on the website, and you'll definitely see some new products coming up soon.
Cool. Thank you, Jude.
Thanks, Jude.
Thanks. Talk to you later.
Okay. So I know you just told us, you know, that we have some great things coming up for the line, in the coming year or so. But tell us what's so great about OCC Cosmetics.
Well, you know what? One of the things that I'm most proud about for OCC is that we are 100% vegan, and that's really where my heart lies when it comes to creating and driving this line forward. The first job in cosmetics I got was with The Body Shop. I was their colorings consultant many, many moons ago in a mall up in Westchester, and I applied there only because I was so impressed with their cruelty-free policy, which was pretty groundbreaking, and it was not standard like it is at a lot of the lines that you see today. And unfortunately, and not referring specifically to The Body Shop or any of those other well-known ones, there were a lot of companies after the fact who, after that company set the standard, started jumping on board with the cruelty-free logo and stuff like that, too. And we just really felt like it was time to raise the bar on that, because you will probably notice that some of the very same lines that promote their products as cruelty-free also use animal hair brushes, and they'll use things like marine collagen in their skin products and, you know, lots of animal-derived ingredients. So to me, it's like cruelty-free sort of just became another trend, and people really weren't putting their money where their mouth was. So one of the things that really makes OCC stand apart is that the entire product range is completely free of any animal ingredients. Now, for anyone who's sort of tuning out right now and thinking, well, you know, I'm not one of those PETA people, you don't have to be. It's really, I bring all this up not just because it's personally important to me or because it would be important to people who are concerned about things like that, but the reality is that animal-derived ingredients are some of the most detrimental to formulation, and they're the ones that cause the most skin reactions. So I think as makeup artists, we're sort of already conditioned to look and make sure that products are non-comedogenic and, you know, all that stuff, non-irritating. But the reality is some of the most popular animal ingredients like lanolin that you see in a ton of moisturizers are the ones that people have the strongest skin reactions to. So even if you're not totally on board with the whole cruelty-free vegan movement, it's really a better formulation for a professional to work with because you'll have less incidence of running into skin reactions with the people who you work with.
Right. Absolutely.
So that's definitely part of what sets us apart. And then I think the other thing that really sets us apart is that it's makeup artists behind the scenes. You know, it's myself, it's Katie Pellegrino. A lot of the feedback that we get from makeup artists out there is what shapes the line. And I think that's the way it should be, especially for, you know, a product that's used primarily for professionals. But also, I think I've never really understood why there was a difference, why there were professional lines and non-professional lines. And throughout my career, I've sort of been asking the question, well, what makes a professional line professional? And it seems like the answer is always quality.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's sort of a strange answer, because why would the consumer deserve makeup that's of any less of a quality than a professional would work with?
Right.
So we're really trying to bridge that gap. We're really trying to just create high-performance products that work as well for professional situations as they do for, you know, everyday people who just love makeup.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have a couple more comments and a question from the chat room. Chris, and I think he was referring to when you were speaking of the mainstream products, he said, keep me in the loop, David. It's Chris, and I look forward to seeing more mainstream product lines for the average woman to use and enjoy. So he says, when? And I think you responded, you know, within the next year or so, more products will be coming. And then Christina Ashley says, I really love OCC's dedication to vegan products and the fact that David understands that makeup can be free of animal byproducts and animal testing, yet still be amazing.
That's awesome. And that makes me so happy because, you know, the reality is there are other vegan lines out there, but they're primarily skincare. And the ones that do venture into color cosmetics are really limited by their color options because it would surprise a lot of people to know that a lot of pigments can be animal-derived also. And I think it's sort of strange what's going on now with the whole mineral makeup craze because, you know, people are hearing that things are mineral-based, but they're sort of not really realizing that that means the only two other options out there would be vegetable or animal. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, once again, I'm not trying to convert anybody here. I'm not trying to, you know, make everyone stop eating meat and, you know, stop wearing leather and all that. What I'm saying is that you have the right to know what's in your makeup before you make that decision. You have the right to know that products that you wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole are probably in the lipstick that you use every day. Carmine is a very common red pigment, and it's literally Betelgeuse. It's literally an extract from insects. So, and that goes into everything from lip gloss and lipstick to ice cream and candy. And it's usually pretty hard to figure that out on your own, but they just call it something like natural red or red number 40. And wherever you stand on the animal rights issue, I just don't think anyone would really knowingly want to put Betelgeuse on their lips. And we're just about empowering the consumer and saying, this is what's in our product, this is what's in some of the other products out there, and let them make their own decision.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I think that's a good thing. Chris wanted to also know, will you possibly be looking into incorporating skincare formulations much like your primer into future products? And Christina seconds that question.
Yeah, 100%. Skincare is definitely something that we're focused on. I think just because I've always been fascinated with it. Mm-hmm. Number one, I've always sort of been a skincare junkie ever since I was a kid. But also I think for professionals, great makeup starts with great looking skin, and especially in the HD age, you can't really fake terrific skin anymore. You know, you can really only go so far with the makeup. So if you are working on a long time project, you know, if you are doing a television series, you should, not that, you know, we're playing the role of dermatologists certainly, but I think to be able to recommend great skincare products that enhance and make the makeup look better is definitely a role that you're going to see makeup artists taking on future forward, because we've got to make sure that the talent has good skin on their own. And I think that's a really positive thing to bring to the consumer, because, you know, even as a makeup artist and even as someone who owns a cosmetic line, nothing makes me happier than someone who has the confidence to go out into the world without makeup. I think that's really beautiful, you know, living in the New York City area. I think it's awesome when I see, you know, a woman on the subway with absolutely no foundation on and just like a bright lipstick because she loves it. That's what OCC is about. You know, we're not looking to scare you. We're not looking to sell you a bunch of products that we don't need. We just want to make great makeup that you're going to love to wear. Not because you feel like you have to, but just because you enjoy it.
I like that. I like that philosophy a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, we're trying out honesty. We'll see how it works, you know. It's a revolutionary new trend, honesty.
Right. Now, David, I mean, you know, I know you have this cosmetic line, but you're also a makeup artist. What's next for you?
Well, you know, it's really important. It's a great question. It's really important for me to stay in touch with the industry. And I think sometimes makeup artists who start their own line sort of get caught up in the day-to-day and get so far removed from it that they're sort of referring to a career they once had as opposed to something that they're actively involved in. So that's something that I always make time for. We support a number of designers during Fashion Week here in New York City. We've traveled out to L.A. to do Fashion Week out there, which is really cool. It's a very, like, different emerging scene out in L.A. And it's 100% different. And last year we helped support Sharon Galt on Ashley Page's collection, and that was my first time doing L.A. Fashion Week. I've done more New York fashion shows than I can count. I'm not, you know, trying to brag. I'm just telling the truth. So I went out there feeling like I knew what to expect, and it was a whole different world. And I think that's such an important experience to have. I think it's really important for me to stay really current with how things are changing so that, you know, OCC stays current.
Right. Absolutely. That's important. I mean, you know, as a owning my own line as well, that's just important for me to hear you, you know, you say those things.
Oh, 100%. And it's hard. You know just as well as I do that, you know, I mean, it takes a lot to run a line. It's not, you know, I meet a lot of people at trade shows who tell me, you know, I want to start my own line one day. What do you do? And I say, you know, cut off all your friends right now and learn how to operate on no sleep, because it really does take all your time and attention. But that said, you can't let your own career fall into the backdrop. Otherwise, your line's just going to become irrelevant. And I mean, my God, you know, you two guys are you and your sister. I mean, the career that you guys have, it's, you know, your line will never be irrelevant.
Oh, thank you.
I agree,
Brian. And we have supporter friends like Cynthia, who's always willing to step up and help out whenever necessary. So thank you again, Cynthia, for being here. I know she doesn't like me to call her co-host, but just as long as you're on the line, I'm happy.
It's all right.
Did you have any other questions, Cynthia, before we wind down?
No, I don't have any more questions, but I do have a comment. David, I did test the portable compressor, Eros compressor, and it's wonderful. Awesome. Anybody that knows me knows I'm all about condensing and using what works, and that compressor, like when we did our exam today, I put it in a set bag, and I was out the door.
How awesome is that, right?
I love that, and I loved how powerful it is. Still, you know, quiet, not making a lot of noise, but it's still powerful. You can still do a great coverage, same coverage that I can get, same working power I can get with my Silverjet. I mean, it does stop at 16 PSI, but it's still very powerful.
That's awesome.
Even with compressors, I didn't get that same comfort that I had in this portable one. So I'm like, great, let's do an outdoor shoot. We can go outside, film, TV, whatever. I'm ready.
That's so terrific. And that was definitely the intention there because, you know, as a makeup artist myself, you know, we have to carry around a lot of products. And, you know, there was a period where I used to schlep around, like, two rolling suitcases and a backpack because, you know, I absolutely had to have every single color eyeshadow and every single color glitter, and I even had to have feathers. Because what if they wanted feathers? And, you know, but after literally throwing my shoulder out after one New York Fashion Week, it was really sort of a moment where I was like, okay, we have to make life easier. And, you know, like I tell people, I did not name the cosmetic company arbitrarily. I didn't, you know, just pick OCC out of a hat. I definitely have my own little obsessions with makeup, and one of them has become condensing things and just making our lives easier. And to be able to have a really powerful compressor that you could literally throw into your purse is a godsend.
Yes, it is.
I agree.
Definitely. As we wind down, I'd just like to thank all the people who were on the chat room. I think we had about 15 people in the chat room tonight. Thank you for your comments and your questions, or if you just listened, that was great too. We really do appreciate that. Thank you, Cynthia, for standing in for my sister and just always being there for your support. Thank you so much, David, for being available to us, just giving us lots of information. And it's just encouraging, you know, talking to other makeup artists and sharing information.
No, absolutely, and that's what we're all about, and it sort of goes back to what I said about, you know, charging for DVDs and stuff like that. You know, information should be free. You know, we have to charge for products. We all have to make our, you know, money at the end of the day, but information is something that should be shared. And, you know, as one makeup artist to whoever's listening, like, we're all about those questions, and you can always email us. You can always get in touch with us through Facebook, Twitter, through our website, and we don't hold back. We do not. We don't make you pay a fee to talk to us. So we're always available.
Give them your web address.
Oh, it's www.occmakeup.com. Again, it's occmakeup.com. You can find us on Facebook under Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics, Twitter on OCC Makeup, and you can email us at info@occmakeup.com, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Thank you so much. And we just like to encourage everyone to continue listening. Part three is next week. Part three of the Airbrush series is next week with Suzanne Patterson. And for those of you who listened, if you like the show, please go out there and rate the show and then also mark it as a favorite. It helps us out a lot. We really appreciate it. And we have like 2 minutes left. I want to continue to encourage people to call in every week if you have questions and comments at 914-803-4399. You can send your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. You can join us in the chat room. But we have like 2 minutes left. David, I ask everybody this. What is beauty to you as we wind down?
Beauty is confidence, and it's instilling confidence in others. It's not playing up to people's insecurities, and it's making people realize why they are beautiful and not how they can be beautiful, because we all are beautiful. And it's ridiculous that the cosmetic industry has for so long tried to make people feel less than and like they needed something to be beautiful. At OCC, we think you look great already, and our motto is because you don't need to be made over.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining us. And
my pleasure.
Everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks again.
Okay. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
The label.